Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the fourth commandment, God wants his people. He wants you to remember. He wants us to remember because the truth is we so easily forget. We forget who we are. And it's not as if we just forget our names or our families or our hometown or our occupation or our hobbies or what we aspire to in life. We forget the essential things, the important things, the vital things in life. We get busy and we forget. We get distracted and we forget. We forget that we were created, that we did not simply appear, that we did not simply will ourselves into being, and that we have an end. We forget that we are not the center of the universe. We forget that there is a large world out there, a vast universe out there, and we forget that it was all wonderfully and magnificently created, fashioned by the Eternal Father's hands, simply spoken into being. We forget that there is a Creator, and that the Creator is not us. We forget God. We forget who we are. We forget that we were slaves. We forget that we were in bondage to the power of sin. We forget that we are sinners, that we carry with us hearts that are hard as stone, hearts that are broken, shattered like glass. We forget that we were in chains to death, that death is really and truly an enemy, not just a natural end to life and existence. We forget that we have a Redeemer, a Savior. We forget God. But God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our hard as stone, broken like glass because of sin hearts. He knows us. He knows that we forget. So he tells his people, he commands his people, he commands you and me, remember. Set one day a week aside to remember. A Sabbath. And on that Sabbath, to remember, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The commandment tells us to remember God's mighty acts of creation. The fourth commandment is not only found in the book of Exodus, it's also found in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 5. The fourth commandment in Deuteronomy tells us to remember something else on the Sabbath, to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To remember that you were a slave. To remember that God delivered you, that God redeemed you. In other words, to remember God's mighty acts of salvation. To remember Jesus. Because this law points to Jesus. This commandment is fulfilled in Jesus. This statute is complete in Jesus. Paul writes about this. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to the Colossians. Now listen to chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 of Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 of Colossians. Paul writes, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Christ is the substance of the fourth commandment. Christ is the substance of the Sabbath. The law itself was simply a shadow whose true form is found in Jesus. Therefore, on the Sabbath, we remember Jesus. We are to remember that God created through Jesus. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3, says this about Jesus. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." We are to remember that not only did God create through Jesus, but that God recreates through Jesus, that he makes you new, that he removes your heart of stone and gives you a new heart, one that is full of him. We are to remember that God saves through Jesus, that God redeems through Jesus. Through his death on the cross, he has defeated sin, your sin. Through his resurrection, his rising from the grave, he has defeated death, your death. And through faith in him, you are free. You're liberated. Your bonds are broken. Your chains are cast off. You're no longer a slave. You don't have to be afraid. God has conquered his enemies, your enemies, sin and death and the devil, and he has conquered through the Son. And because the resurrection was on the first day of the week, because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, we gather on the first day of the week, not the seventh. We gather to remember Jesus on the first day, on his day, the day of resurrection, the Lord's day. Remember. Well, this commandment, this day is rooted in the past. This commandment looks to the past, but it's not only about the past. This commandment is present. This commandment is now. The scriptural understanding of remember has at its heart to observe. Now, rather than remember, the same commandment found in Deuteronomy says this: observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. Not remember, but observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. So part of remembering is to observe the day. So this is the active sense of the word. Observe as in to take part in. Observe as in to participate in the day. We are to celebrate the day. We are to worship. That's how we're to celebrate, to worship. We are to worship the one who created all things. We are to worship the one who saved us. We are to worship the one who gave the law. We are to worship the crucified and resurrected one. We are to worship Jesus. Jesus who is alive. Jesus who is in our midst. Jesus who recreates us. The heart of the fourth commandment is God's people gathering to worship the living Christ. This is remembering. In the fourth commandment, God wants us to remember. And God wants us to rest. This also is the second dimension to the commandment as one not just being of the past, but also now, the present. Rest. God has given the Sabbath day as a gift to cease from our labors, a gift to cease from our work, a gift to rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The Lord has given 6 days. The Lord has given us 6 days to do our labor, 6 days to fulfill our callings, and 1 day to cease, 1 day to rest, a day to rest in Him, a day to rest in the Lord, a day to rest in Jesus, a day to rest remembering who we are and whose we are. A day to rest knowing that our enemies, sin and death and the devil, are conquered. A day to rest, giving Him our burdens. A day to be refreshed, renewed, restored. Remember and rest. The Sabbath is rooted in the past. And the Sabbath is a gift for the present. But that's not all. The Sabbath also looks to the future. The Sabbath gives us a taste of the future, a foretaste of the future. The Sabbath is a glimpse of what is to come. Our New Testament reading was from the book of Hebrews. Now listen to verse 9 again. Soon then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, Sabbath rest is something that happens now, but it also points to something in the future. It points to something ahead. It points to something on the horizon, something that is not yet. Now, the argument in the book of Hebrews is this. When God's people were released from bondage in Egypt, when they were freed from their slavery in Egypt, they would have rest in the promised land. They would have rest in their own land. God-given rest. Now, when God freed His people from slavery in Egypt, He sent Moses to lead them. However, Moses never set foot in the promised land. Moses saw it. He set his eyes on it. But he never actually got to enter the promised land. And that was because of his disobedience to the Lord. Well, after Moses died, Joshua took command of the people of Israel. Joshua led God's people across the Jordan River. Joshua led God's people into the promised land. And right before they were to enter the promised land, as they sat on the banks of the Jordan River, as they prepared to enter, Joshua reminded the people this. This is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 13. Joshua tells God's people, "Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land.'" Entering the promised land meant rest. God was providing a place of rest, rest from their wanderings, rest from bondage, rest from their enemies, rest in God. Now, God's people did cross the Jordan River. God's people did enter the promised land, but they did not find that rest. They did not enter into that rest. Now, there were periods of rest, yes. And if you read the history of God's people in the Old Testament, they had periods of rest, periods of peace, periods of faithfulness. But it wasn't a complete rest. Why? Because they didn't remember. It was not a complete rest because they forgot. They forgot who they were. They forgot whose they were. Their hearts wandered after other gods. Their hearts turned from the one who created all things out of nothing. Their hearts turned from the one who redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. They fashioned images of idols to worship. They were disobedient and they strayed like lost sheep. They did not rest. They did not rest from their enemies. And they did not rest in God. Well, since God's promises are always certain, since God's promises are always true, since God's promises are always secure, our passage from Hebrews says that this promised rest actually pointed to the future, to our future, to your future, and my future. Well, just like God's people centuries ago, millennia ago, we too follow a Joshua, a different Joshua. We follow Joshua, the Son of God. Joshua, the crucified and resurrected one. Joshua, who saved us. Jesus is Joshua in Greek. Joshua is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus, and both mean God saves. As God's people, we also follow Joshua. We follow the new Joshua to the promised land. We follow the new Joshua to a promised rest. Heaven. Heaven. Where we will find eternal rest in God. Rest from our enemies. Rest from our labors. Rest from pain. Rest from sorrow, rest from worry, rest from anxiety, rest from fear. Complete rest in Jesus. Heavenly rest. Rest in the overflowing love of the Father, where we will join with all the saints who have completed their labors and rest in Him, where worship of the Lamb upon the throne is never ceasing. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Our Hebrews passage says this is good news. And it is good news. It's good news in knowing that our labor will end. It's good news in knowing that our battle with sin in our hearts, our battle with temptation, our battle with loving ourselves more than God, our battle with loving ourselves more than our neighbor will end. It's good news in knowing that God's work in us will be complete. It's good news in knowing that the injustice that we see around us in our city and in our country and in our world will end. It's good news in knowing that suffering will end, sorrow will end, tears will be no more. It's good news in knowing that death will end. Rest. And peace, all because of Jesus. Jesus who fulfills the Sabbath. Jesus who is the substance of the fourth commandment. On the Lord's Day, you participate in, you observe, you experience a moment, a day, that transcends time. A day that encompasses past and present and future all in one. On the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath, we remember God's mighty acts in the past. We worship the risen Christ in the present. We look to a promised rest in the future. On the Lord's Day, we participate in all three, giving thanks for the past, rejoicing in the present, and receiving a taste, a glimpse of the future. All in the name of Jesus. All because of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.